the next couple of weeks is not going to be good for India. We have to be strong.
COVID ravages India. It's Monday, April 26th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. You can find us daily at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, one place in Asia remains COVID-free. Recognizing a genocide. Asia at the Oscars. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India reported nearly 315,000 new COVID-19 infections last week, the highest one-day total posted by any nation during the year-long global pandemic. The devastating second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic in the world's second most populous country has brought its health system to the brink of collapse, even in its biggest cities. Experts say super-spreader events and a more infectious variant could have caused the surge in India that is now the epicenter of the global pandemic. Anjana Pasricha reports from New Delhi.
Patients sharing beds in a New Delhi hospital. In India's shuttered cities, the only crowds are outside hospitals and crematoriums as families scramble to get beds or cremate loved ones. The exponential rise in COVID-19 cases as a second wave grips India has brought health services to breaking point, even in cities like Delhi and Mumbai with the best equipped hospitals.
The influx of patients is so much that we have to treat on the wheelchair, sometimes you have to treat it in the ambulance itself.
It is the worst public health emergency in memory, as hospitals run desperately short of beds, medical oxygen and key drugs.
It was worse than a tsunami. It was worse than carpet bombing.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi has called India's second wave a storm.
Corona sankat mein desh ke anek hisse mein.
The coronavirus crisis has led to a massive demand for oxygen throughout the country. We are taking steps to address this very quickly.
Aur puri samvedanshilta ke saath kaam kiya ja raha hai.
It will be too late for those already mourning dead relatives.
I brought my wife here in the night and she was well and talking to me. Around 2 a.m. in the night, she told me that she is not getting oxygen and the hospital is not providing it to her.
Authorities have been criticized for allowing super spreader events such as a massive Hindu religious festival and packed political rallies led by top leaders in recent weeks. Experts say a more infectious variant is also driving the relentless rise in cases.
It's known that this variant is more transmissible. It moves more easily between people and it is able to evade the immune response in some cases.
The second wave that has made India the epicenter of the global pandemic is not expected to peak soon.
In a situation where cases are rising very rapidly, we're already a little below 300,000 cases reported yesterday. And we're at about 2,000 odd deaths. Our vaccination program is faltering a little bit. We were a little below 3 million vaccines yesterday. So all of this together suggests that the next couple of weeks is not going to be good for India. We have to be strong.
That will be a challenge for an exhausted healthcare system.
I think we are nearly crumbled and crashed, I should say. I don't know how we are going to resurrect. Let's all vaccinate everybody. Let's all save lives. Let there be more beds. Let there be more oxygen.
That is also the cry from people questioning why authorities did not prepare adequately to handle a second wave. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Thailand sets daily record of COVID-19 deaths for second day. Pakistan offers key medical supplies to India. Myanmar shadow government welcomes ASEAN call to end violence. New Chinese decree tells religious leaders to support the Communist Party. Asians dominate Oscar nominations. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more can be found online at Facebook at VOA Asia. And we invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. Vanuatu, a remote chain of more than 80 islands in the Pacific, is one of the few countries in the world where the coronavirus has not spread. How did they do it? Jenny Stein has more for VOA from Vanuatu.
Vanuatu was very lucky in that we closed our borders right at the beginning.
Not one case of community transmission, although three people have tested positive while in quarantine.
The message this small country is trying to tell the world is, in all your considerations, please give some serious thought to the fact that we are COVID-free.
Armed with limited testing kits, Vanuatu took action to make use of what it had. It's been carrying out pool testing of new arrivals to conserve use of its resources. This island paradise may be COVID-free, but it doesn't mean Vanuatu is not hurting. In the dominant tourism sector, 70% of tourism jobs have been lost.
We went from full lots of tourists to absolutely nothing within days.
Max Alonsariel shut his tour company when borders closed. He is now helping another tourism operator to sell its assets.
We are selling cars at the moment. The only possible solution we are looking forward for is the vaccine.
Getting hold of vaccines is the government's first challenge. Craig says distribution across a chain of more than 80 islands will be an extremely complex operation.
If we can get vaccinated and support from our more developed partners and the rollout and the doctors and the nurses to come and help with the logistics of it, then we can achieve that. Without that support, it's going to be very, very challenging for a third world medical system that's already has its own, you know, it's running at capacity now.
To save its economy, Vanuatu needs its citizens to be vaccinated, and the same for arrivals. Not one dose has yet arrived, but the government continues to hope its program will start by June. Ginny Stein, Port Vila, Vanuatu, for Voice of America.
Happening now in Asia, the wreckage of an Indonesian Navy submarine missing since Wednesday has been found on the sea floor. All of its 53 crew are confirmed dead. The news came a day after debris was found floating about 2 miles from the submarine's last known location in the Bali Strait. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're starting off a brand new week together on VOA Asia. Nice to have you with us. Turkey is considered the country where Asia meets the West. President Joe Biden has recognized that the systematic killing and deportation of hundreds of thousands of Armenians by Ottoman Turks a century ago was genocide. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain tells us he is the first American president to do so.
Rare images from 1923, shared by the Cineteca of Bologna, show survivors of the mass deportation and slaughter of Armenians by the Ottoman Empire in 1915 and 1916. Some of the images include children packed onto boats in Turkey and lines of refugees trudging along roads. Armenians say up to 1.5 million people were killed during World War I as the Ottoman Empire broke up, a claim supported by some 30 countries. Turkey, which rose from the ashes of the Ottoman Empire in the 1920s, still strongly rejects the genocide label, saying that 300,000 to 500,000 Armenians and at least as many Turks died in fighting when Armenians rose up against their Ottoman rulers. The atrocities are commemorated in Armenia and among the Armenian community worldwide every April the 24th. More than 100 U.S. lawmakers from both parties sent a letter to Biden asking him specifically to use the word genocide in his remembrance proclamation. Turkey's foreign minister, Mevlut Cavusoglu, warned the Biden administration that genocide recognition would harm U.S. ties with Ankara. Asked about the state of bilateral relations, State Department spokesperson Ned Price said Turkey is a valued NATO ally.
As friends, as allies, when we have disagreements, we raise those, we discuss those, and there's no papering over them.
Hiraj Gregorian told VOA he is not worried about lasting damage to U.S.-Turkish ties.
In international relations, bridges get burnt and rebuilt because states act on their national interests.
Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Six of this year's Oscar contenders are Asian or Asian American, reflecting a greater diversity at this year's Academy Awards. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with industry insiders on what any wins among them would mean for the film industry and beyond.
All right, let's just do one. Action.
Chinese-American filmmaker Chloe Zhao is the first woman of Asian descent to receive an Oscar nomination for Best Director for her film Nomadland. The film has received six Oscar nominations, including Best Picture.
My mom said that you're homeless. Is that true?
No, I'm not homeless. I'm just houseless. Not the same thing, right?
To tell the story of the road of nomadic living, we have to understand why this lifestyle draws all these colorful characters to it.
Though Chloe Zhao becomes the first female filmmaker of color to be nominated, her past criticism of China's communist regime led to retaliatory censorship of her Oscar-nominated film in China. That is concerning, as China is becoming the world's largest theatrical box office market, says media studies professor at University of Virginia, Ann Kokas.
This becomes a huge question at the intersection of Hollywood and China, because not only is Chloe Zhao a potential Oscar winner, she also is a director of a future big budget blockbuster film that will need to be able to recuperate huge budget from China.
The Korean-American drama Minari, about a Korean-American family searching for the American dream in rural Arkansas, has also received six Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, competing with Nomadland. Korean-American director Lee Isaac Chung has been nominated for Best Director. The filmmaker says Minari, on the American immigrant experience, should not be stereotyped as Asian.
For me, the priority in this film was to reclaim a sense of humanity, who immigrants are, or who people from the South are, or who people of faith are like.
Stephen Yeung also made history as the first Asian American to be nominated in the Best Actor category for his role as the immigrant father and husband who struggles to build a better life. South Korean veteran actress Yoon Yeo-chung has received an Oscar nomination in the Best Supporting Actress category for her portrayal of the South Korean grandma who comes to America to help her family. Yoon Yeo-chung spoke to VOA about the universality of her character.
That was just all mother do, universally, Greek or Korean or American. I think it's just a universal. That's why I think people like this movie.
British-Asian actor Riz Ahmed also made history as the first Muslim to be nominated in the Best Actor category for his role as a heavy metal drummer who begins to lose his hearing in the film drama Sound of Metal. Better Days, a drama by Hong Kong director Derek Chung, received the nod in the Best International Film category, and Do Not Split got the nod in the category of documentary short subject. Do Not Split, an American-Norwegian production, captures the chaos of the 2019-2020 Hong Kong riots as China cracks down on pro-democracy protesters. In response to Do Not Split and Nomadland nominations, the Chinese government has banned all local media covering the Oscars live. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia program. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. And in the meantime, find us online. We're at Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and of course, Facebook. We thank you for joining us and our team that brings you this program, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.